David Morris and his son Jack Morris have stayed in the studio so we can talk a little more with them and with our next guest, who is Barbara Koppel. The Ashland Independent Film Festival is now in full swing with 97 films, short and long, showing on several screens through the weekend. Tonight's program does include a visit with two-time Oscar winner Barbara Koppel, who's the producer and director of documentaries and narrative films alike, a long career and a lot of awards to show for it. And she joins us by phone with the Morrises listening on the headphones. Barbara Koppel, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Well, thank you very much, and I certainly enjoyed hearing David and Jack. It was wonderful.
It's a good combination all around. And then I should point out again, the session tonight is at 6 o'clock at the Ashland Historic Armory, the old armory as opposed to the newer armory in Ashland, an evening of music and conversation with Barbara Koppel, and of course David Morris and Jack Morris will be there as well. Barbara, let's focus on you and your career. You were the daughter of an executive in one of the nicer New York suburbs, Scarsdale. What led you into documentaries?
Well, I think that my parents were so wonderful to me and really allowed me at a very young age to be whoever I wanted to be. And I had a youth of growing up with enormous love and enormous support. And so they, because of who they are, they allowed me to take risks, and you couldn't keep me back.
Now, your college studies were in psychology, weren't they? So where'd you learn the film skills?
Well, I think psychology is a lot like making films. I mean, you really want to dig deep and you want to get inside people and see what's beneath them and really be able to make them feel comfortable and say the things that they want to say.
Did you ever consider working for a quote-unquote traditional news organization?
No. I've had my own company all my life and just wanted to do the films that I wanted to do. Lots of times people will call me up and ask me if I'd like to do a film, and most of the time I'm a girl who can't say no, so I do it.
Winter Soldier in 1972, was that your first film credit?
Yeah, that was as part of a collective called the Winter Soldier Collective, and it was a lot of us, very young people who wanted to do something about the war. And so we interviewed Vietnam veterans who told their stories, and it was moving and gripping, and Jane Fonda and Donald Sutherland were the producers.
It looks like a huge project, not only the numbers of soldiers that you interviewed, but the numbers of people involved with producing that film.
It was wonderful. We just all spread out and did it, and then we edited the film together and lived together editing the film with Vietnam veterans. So they would come and they would stay with us. Somebody gave us a place in the country, and there we all were listening to stories, seeing if what we were doing was authentic.
Is there a bit of a rueful laugh in your soul about a Captain America movie coming out now with a very similar name?
I heard about that. I did hear about that. The Winter, so Captain America, the Winter Soldier, or something
right.
Like
yeah,
that.
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. Yes, yeah. Very, very different kind of film, I am quite
it
confident,
is.
Yes. Harlan County in Kentucky and the coal strike in 1974. What drew you there in the first place, Barbara?
Well, I had heard on NPR radio about these two coal miners, Arnold Miller and Mike Trbovich, and I guess also Harry Patrick, who were going to take on the powers that be. And Yablonsky, his wife and daughter, had been murdered, and they were going to fight against W.A. Tony Boyle and bring democracy back. And I was able to raise $12,000, get a loan, and off I went to follow the Arnold Miller campaign.
And it was that movie that put you in the orbit of David Morris, is that correct?
Absolutely, whether he liked it or not.
Yeah, we just heard his version of the story. He says he liked it quite a bit as well. But was it the kind of thing that once you saw David Morris and his brother John, you really couldn't resist putting them in the movie? They were just too big a part to leave out?
Well, their music just hit a spot that's so soulful and just told stories through music. And that's what the music of Appalachia is. Everybody's geographically isolated, and the music just brings you in and lets everybody understand what's going on. And he's an important element in this film, and I was really happy that he said he would do it.
David Morris, did you have to do much other than just be yourself in Harlan County, USA? I mean, you just did your thing, and Barbara's crew captured it?
I really can't do very much except be myself. Yeah, I remember going there to that picket line the first time the UMWA took us down there. And it was an amazing scene. there must have been 30 state troopers there in their gray uniforms, and there was pickets on the picket line. There was people roiling and boiling all around, and it was just a chaotic scene. And out in the middle of all that, I saw Barbara Koppel with a camera on her shoulder. And I thought to myself, boy, this is a different way to make a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And we were standing there, and an old coal miner came up to us, and we were getting ready to play. And the old coal miner came up to us, and he said, "Now, boys," he said, "if any shooting starts, it'll come from right over there in them rocks. And you just don't pay any attention to it. You just keep playing. We'll take care of it." Well, one of the guys in the band had never been involved in anything like this. And he leaned down to his partner and said, "Why do them Morse boys get jobs like this?"
A lot of color, obviously, in this story, in addition to the gritty nature of it. And Harlan County, USA, which, again, we didn't mention this yet, is playing at the Varsity this afternoon at noon, I should say. So, Barbara, Harlan County, USA won the Oscar for documentary in 1976. What's that like to reach that pinnacle of success, but with this really, I mean, it's a human tragedy in a lot of ways.
Well, I think that winning that Academy Award, what it did was it said to the people of Eastern Kentucky and other places, people out here care about you. They care about what happens. And for me, it was one of the most amazing times of my life. I was sitting and with all the documentarians, and when the documentary subject came up, we all crisscrossed arms. And when they said Harlan County, I felt these two hands on either side of me pushing me up, and my little heart was beating somewhere in the auditorium. And I went up, and Lillian Hellman gave me the Academy Award. And the first thing I did after the Academy Award was call Kentucky and speak to Lois Scott. And she said, "We won! We won an Academy Award! People are running around in their cars and beeping." And it was just the most amazing, wonderful thing that ever could have happened.
So the people of Harlan County really shared this with you?
Oh, yeah. And they came to the premiere of the film at the New York Film Festival, and Lois Scott tried to get money for the Black Lung Association, and people were throwing $5 and $10 bills on the stage and, you know, collecting money. And I'm standing in the corner laughing hysterically, and she's saying, "Barbara, you stop that laughing and you put that money in your bra. We need it."
Barbara Koppel's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange on the phone. She'll be at a session at the Ashland Independent Film Festival this evening, an evening of music and conversation with Barbara Koppel. We also have the musicians, David Morris and Jack Morris, in the studio with us on the Jefferson Exchange. You can join us if you like at 800-838-3760, 541-552-6782, or by email jx@jeffnet.org. So let's see, there was a feature film in 1983, a fictional film, also about a labor standoff, Keeping On, back to real-life labor strife in American Dream, also an Oscar winner. Tell me about the process, Barbara, because some of the people you're talking to are clearly miserable when they're talking about what's going on in their lives in documentaries. How do you keep it together as a human being, I mean, to still function as a film producer and director?
I think that the people in the films, you know, have a tale to tell. And I think it empowers them to be able to tell their story and to know that they're not alone and that there are other people out there who go through the same things. So for me, it's being very proactive. It's doing something. It's allowing you to see people and hear stories that you never would.
There's such a wide range of subjects and people you've done movies on. I mean, JFK Conspiracy, Women in Society, movies with Gregory Peck, Mike Tyson, Woody Allen. I mean, how do you decide?
You did your research.
Yeah, a little bit.
There's no hiding from you.
Well, he knew about Kurt Vance, and I didn't.
Kurt Vance is the guy who did a dissertation on David Morris at The Ohio State University.
I'd forgotten.
So anyway, how do you decide on, so you already explained to your girl who just can't say no, so people come to you, obviously, but I mean, you must do some outreach yourself and think, you know, I really want to do this next. I mean, how do you pull the trigger on a project?
It's all different. I mean, you just never know. I mean, the one that I just finished this last year, Running From Crazy, the OWN network called me up and said, hey, how would you like to do a film on Mariel Hemingway? And how could you say no to that, to really dig deep into the Hemingway family and get it, you know, from the horse's mouth? And Mariel and I met, and we really loved each other, and we just started talking, and she promised she would let me film whatever I needed to do. So you just never know. If somebody's willing and they're open and they want to do it and you like each other, you go for it.
We turned up the radios in the office yesterday because Mariel Hemingway was on a different program on Q yesterday talking about Running From Crazy. And there was the question about using the word crazy, which is not necessarily a politically correct one in today's world. Was there any trepidation about that title?
She wanted that title. She loved that title. There's a little focus group, and she says, I'm always running from crazy. And, you know, we both sort of looked at each other, and that was something that she wanted. And she's no longer running from crazy. She's running with nature. And so her life has really changed. She sees the sun rise every morning and set every night and eats really healthy food and scales mountains and plunges into water that's, you know, 40 degrees.
But the Hemingway family from which she comes has got this long strain of mental illness and suicidal behavior.
Yeah, there's 7 suicides, and I was able to also find 43 hours of Margot Hemingway's footage. She tried to do a film on her grandfather, you know, about her grandfather and his journey, called Winner Take Nothing. And nobody had ever seen any of that footage before. It was just, it was in a little place in Minnesota. And when I called, they said, we've never even seen it. And I said, I'll take whatever you have. And it just really allowed me deeply into the Hemingway family, into their kitchens and to Margot talking to her father. I mean, it was quite incredible material.
When you talk about 43 hours just of Margot Hemingway, we talked to some of the other documentary filmmakers from the Ashland Independent Film Festival this year, and they describe having 600 hours, 1,000 hours of footage. You have worked in scripted films as well. Is it just a tremendous difference in trying to winnow the material you have for a documentary and make it all make sense?
Yeah, but it's so wonderful to go through that process. I mean, just really beautiful, because you get to put the film in a lot of different ways. And as it starts to become whittling down, I mean, Running From Crazy was 5 hours long, and that meant we had a lot of really good material to choose from. And then when it starts coming down, it looks like it's seamless. It looks like it's been that way all the time.
But do you sit there and fidget sometimes at the first showing of the finished film and think, oh, boy.
I still do. I always do. I sit and I look. I stay in with my films because I want to see where people laugh. I want to see where people look at their watches. I want to see where people cry. I mean, it's for me, it's the dessert, because you're always in the field and, you know, you're alone a lot of the time. And so being able to show what you do to audiences like David and Jack do and play while they're, you know, struggling and writing songs and things like that, that's what makes you come alive. That's what makes you feel, hey, yeah, maybe I'm doing something that's worth it.
And you're getting a silent applause from David Morris here in the studio, which brings up a question really for any and all of you. I mean, you first met working on Harlan County, USA, back in the mid-70s, when activism was still a very big deal in America. Your first project was Winter Soldier, people really concerned about the Vietnam War and what it was doing to people who fought it and people who were on the other end of the fighting.
Right. That was part of a collective, though. That was
I understand. But the question gets to, though, the level of concern and activism present in those earlier cases now four decades ago. Is there anything like that level of activism? I mean, what does it take to get people to the streets? Do you wonder that sometimes when you're working now?
No, I think that there's a young generation who are out there and who really care, and, you know, we old geezers still care and are working, and no, I don't. I think that there's a really wonderful level of activism, at least from the people that I know and the films that are being made, films that, you know, really give you information and give you ideas and expose stories. And it's good out there.
What's your next project then? I mean, not to move you on too fast to the next thing, but what's next on the Barbara Koppel list?
I'm in the middle of doing a film on Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings, and she's a great soul singer, and she has a new album out called Give the People What They Want, and she's just come through a bout with cancer, and she's just one of the brightest lights and one of the most magnificent singers. And I'm also going to do a project with Dave. We're doing a little piece on homeless vets together.
All right. David, when does it work on that start?
Barbara would have to answer that question. Mm-hmm. I've already written Gypsy Davy, and that's
all right.
That's my start, at least.
I want to let folks know, too, that even though Gypsy Davy ran into the underwriting break on the air, on the radio, we do have a complete version of it on video that we'll put on our Facebook page later in the day, so we'll have that going. And when will you begin working on this next project, Barbara?
Well, I think we'll start in May or June. Mm-hmm. We have to finish it by the end of the year, so we got a lot to do.
All right. Still very much in demand, it sounds like. You are.
Sorry?
You are still very much in demand, it sounds like.
Well, I hope
so. Oprah Winfrey Network
I,
is calling you.
Yeah, I love what I do. I mean, there's nothing better in the world than going out and meeting people and telling their stories. It's a great journey.
All right. Barbara Koppel in town for the Ashland Independent Film Festival. She and other guests, David Morris and Jack Morris, will be together for an evening of music and conversation with Barbara Koppel tonight at 6 at the historic Ashland Armory. Barbara Koppel's first Oscar-winning documentary, Harlan County, USA, plays at the Varsity Theater in Ashland at noon today. David Morris, Jack Morris, Barbara Koppel, thank you all so much for joining us in this hour of the Jefferson Exchange. And best of luck in all you do.
Our pleasure.
Mine too.
That'll do it for this hour. More coming up in hour number 2 of The Exchange. Thanks for listening.